Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's going off now.
Hello, this is another episode of Highway Diaries with Eric Hollerbach, sitting in the co-host position and the passenger seat.
That is Jefferson Reeverson right here.
We're, again, still on the way to see my sister in San Francisco, driving from Los Angeles.
We just made a bit of a rest stop to get some gas, so now we're fully charged and ready for the highway.
Excellent. You're a bit of a ladies' man, I'll be honest here.
No.
Now, speaking of
ladies,
and now we were joking in an earlier episode.
If I'd be bashful.
We were joking in an earlier episode that you only got into show business so you can, like, abuse little wannabe actresses. But art imitates life sometimes because...
Not abuse, seduce.
Excellent.
And destroy.
Right. Now, without getting into anybody's name, there is a little girl that you have on your line right now.
Oh, that's right. Well, I shouldn't call her little. She's a fully adult woman to the courts.
She's before the age of 20. I will say this, and Jefferson...
Her age ends in E-ager.
Jeff showed me a picture of her. She's fucking gorgeous.
She's an attractive young woman.
Jeff is pulling some sweet moves here. So, take it away. I'm actually very bad with the ladies, Jeff.
But,
I need some help. What's going on?
I'm in the same club as you. However, I may have a ticket out.
The ticket is only sold to minors.
Exactly. I happen to have met a lady. I've known her actually for over a year now. Long story short, she's going to be new to the area of Los Angeles.
I'm new in town. I don't know where to stay. I don't know what...
Exactly.
My pussy's not filled up right now.
I need a ride to Target. Well, the Target is my balls. So anyway, she's moving to town, and I really want to show her that I'm a gentleman and show her a nice time and, you know, show her that, you know, hey, I'm a good guy.
But you met her on this big movie set, this big A-list movie set we can't talk about.
I can't talk about it. I won't say what it is, where it is, what it was.
But he met an E-nature.
Or what it will be.
But I met an E-ager. There's a wannabe actress coming.
E-ager, legal.
Now, you filmed...
legally a minor.
Hold on, shut up. You filmed in a place that wasn't Los Angeles, at some local town. You got some local talent in for the day, right?
That's exactly right.
And now she's going, ooh, I got some contacts. I'm moving to Los Angeles. You were very friendly to her.
Yes.
And so now she's hitting you up. Jeff's phone is blowing up. His Facebook's blowing up. He's going to blow up.
I've been tweeted in the past month.
God damn it. You're already fucked onto the social network.
And so anyway, she texted me, you know, a little while ago.
Whoa.
Like, hey,
did she sext you, bro?
She sent me a picture of her titties and was like, the Plymouth has landed, bitch.
The Plymouth has landed? You can't use old man references on a teenager. Use Justin Bieber references. You can't be using history lessons. She doesn't want to hear that shit.
That's true. And so anyway, I'm going to, when she arrives in town, I'm going to try to take her out on some lovely dates. Hopefully get some poutine.
Nice. Now, you have a friend who is, now here's the thing. Me and Jeff go way back doing comedy. Comedy is really difficult. You have this buddy who... Have a cold one. Have a cold one. Hey, you want a coconut water, by the way? Have a cold one.
Well, there's this one time I was at, like, some festival or project or whatever with my film club in college. So this is back when I was, like, a junior or senior. Anyway, there's this one guy in the club. Very nice guy. Sweetheart. Me and him are still Facebook friends. He's a great guy, but...
You're going to Facebook fuck him right now.
He's just very awkward and not good at jokes, not good at stories, not good at anything in terms of verbal conversation. He's just a lethal threat to the verbal ear.
Oh, you're just taking your Facebook cock out his mouth right now.
Exactly. I mean, hey, to the right word, he's a diamond, but...
You just said four insults in a row.
But anyway,
now we're very specific.
She's an awkward and uncomfortable person.
But great Facebook friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Time into my Facebook friend.
I Facebooked the hell out of that guy. But anyway, there's this one night where we're hanging out and at this festival or whatever. Anyway, we're helping clean up and by the end of the night, getting ready to leave. And then, you know, the whole time he's talking and saying just uncomfortable and awkward stuff. And then finally, at one point, I forget the context, but he used the phrase, like, how about a cold one? And then I laughed. I was like, you know, just like a light chuckle, more or less just to be
so
polite.
So when he said to you, how about a cold one, you gave him a light chuckle, which encouraged him. He's never heard laughter from a
funny
guy. You're a funny guy,
you know, I'm a decently funny guy. Anyway, it was my laughter was enough to, you know, kind of motivate him and inspire him. And in his mind, it's like, oh my God, I just told a funny joke. Well, anyway, you know, 5-10 minutes go by, and, you know, I don't think anything of it. And then, like, you know, another half hour goes by. And then finally, like, I'm, like, opening the door, like, we're about to leave or whatever. And then, like, this guy says, like, looks to me and says, like, I bet a cold one, like, for the second time. And so I look
at nailed it!
So I looked at him.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So I think I smile, and I'm like,
smile, that's encouraging.
Yeah,
so I'm socially awkward. You gave me a smile. I'm gonna rail this joke home.
So anyway, I think I even have to like drive him home at like the end of the night. And so, you know, we're in the car, like another half hour goes by. He's like, hey, Jeff, how about a cold one? And like at this point, I don't even smile. I just like look at him, like, what the hell's wrong with you? That's the third time. Why are you still saying this?
He doesn't even set up anymore.
Yeah, and then so anyway, I drop him off, and I'm like, hey, see you on Monday. That was cool. And,
now we can just drop the line, and it's genius.
Well, yeah, and then, then he, like, steps out of the car, he, like, leans back in, like, hoping maybe fourth time's the charm, and he's like, hey, Jeff, I've been a cold one. And I just, like, give him, like, a dead stare, and ever since then, we strictly communicate through Facebook. I can't handle his jokes anymore. But anyway.
How about a cold one? How about a punch in the dick? Shut up with that shit. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, anytime I hear that phrase, I think of this guy. A sweetheart again. A Facebook friend.
Hey, Jeff. cold one.
Yeah, it's a gem.
Now, Jeff, I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Well, some might argue that.
That has come up earlier earlier episode, but I'm genuinely a conspiracy theorist. And if you go to erichollerbach.com, quick plug, erichollerbach.com, erichollerbach.com, you can see a little documentary I made called Suppressed Inventions. And actually, Jeff, you were at the premiere of this. You got to look at it. My favorite conspiracy in that little documentary is the water car. A car can run on water. Right now, we're driving up to my sister in San Francisco. I filled the tank. It cost about, I don't know, $44 or whatever. But what if I could just fill my tank up with water, you know? And there was this inventor called Stan Meyer up in Minnesota. He invented a water car, a dune buggy that he drove around, and it ran on water. And then the government, like a high-ranking general, went up to go visit him in, I think he lived in Montana, North Dakota, somewhere around there, and he went to go visit him to see the military usage of this water engine technology. Then he was at a diner later on. This is a true story. Stan Meyer, look him up, people. He was at a diner later.
In relation to Oscar Meyer?
Shut up. That's what you were giggling about and waiting to say for 2 hours? I keep looking at him. He's giggling. He's about to lay a how about a cold one on me.
Hey, Oscar Meyer is gold.
Okay, whatever. His name is Stan Meyer. Jesus Christ. Thank you. I'm talking about changing the world here, Jeff.
All right.
I'm talking about blowing minds open.
Well, tell me more about Stan Meyer.
He made some wieners. How about a cold one? So he made a water car, and so this general came out to visit him, and then he went to a diner, and his last words were, I've been poisoned, and then he dropped dead with very little investigation.
Oh, God.
This is what happens to people, you know? It's like, when an what's imagine this, Jeff. If you're an oil company and your game is selling oil to people, right? And then a guy's like, "Hey, great news! Great news! Your technology is totally obsolete. We could just ride around virtually free, and drive us place to place." You know.
What did he die of?
He was poisoned. I just told you that.
Do you believe that?
I really do.
Call me a bit of a conspiracy theorist, but I think he wasn't poisoned.
What?
I think he was murdered with the knife in the library by Professor Plum.
How long have you been holding up to that, Jeff? How long have you been holding up to that? No, seriously, what do you think about this conspiracy in particular? In Suppress Inventions on EricHollebach.com, there's also this Japanese company that came out called GenePax. Reuters went to them. They filmed their little water-powered car driving around. This is going to save the world. Later on, their website shuts down, mysteriously. And I listened to this conspiracy theorist called Benjamin Fulford, and he lives in Japan where this was out, and he said that some oil goons came over there and said, "You better shut down or we're going to kill you and your family." Showed them creepy pictures of their fucking kids at daycare and shit and said, "Get the fuck out of here or we'll kill you." And then that's what happened. So, I don't know. I think, what do you think about this, Jeff? Am I crazy ranting and raving?
No, I don't think so. I think, as with any theory, it's always possible. It's just a matter of what's most likely. And so, in this case, I don't really have much of an opinion.
Do you think it is possible that, these oil companies are trying to keep free technology down so they can sell their oil?
I think that's absolutely true. I don't know if it's to, perhaps, the extent of this specific example, but I totally agree. They're trying to protect their interests.
And the thing is, it's like if you let... imagine how much you spend in gas all the time. Imagine if you could put that money towards your own education, pay your student loans, this kind of thing. It's really this important. Instead of giving this to this giant monopoly, this octopus that has its tentacles in every single business. You know, every single... No matter what business you're in, you have to use oil. And so they have you, no matter what you're doing. They take a 10% dowry from you or whatever. Or what's a tithing, when you had to pay 10% to the church. You're just throwing this more than that now as gas keeps going up, you know? It's really, really important. Jeff, I've got a demand that you speak to me about this one topic and then we can move on.
Oh, yeah, so with your conspiracy, water cars. No, I totally believe that technology is possible, and if man really put his mind to it, it could be mass-produced, but... For the time being, I do believe...
You're just kind of like, that we're oil fucked. Companies are, I don't know what else there is to talk about.
I mean, there's only so much you can change in a lifetime, and I hope for the best.
Well, that's words of wisdom from Jeffrey Reeves. That's why he's the co-host.
Oh, remember the time that we were in the ski club together?
Yeah. So, Jeff and I, we go way back, and I think this is sixth grade, right? Or 7th grade in ski club. We were in ski club
together. No, this is 8th grade. Because this is towards the end.
Jeff and I are white, yuppie little douchebags. And when we were kids, we were in ski club. That's who we are. We are privileged white fucks who went to ski club. So, we went to Shawnee in Pennsylvania. We would take a charter bus, because that's how we preferred it.
I forgot that was the name.
And we got pretty good. We were going down Black Diamonds.
Yeah.
We would never do the moguls, but we would do, like, one jump, I remember, every now and then. There's little jumps off to the right that are just divots.
That's exactly right.
And you catch some fucking air off those things if you're going really fast.
But yeah, we got pretty decent.
We were really good skiers back then, right? Now my ankles are fucked up and shit because I'm very accident prone. But
I'm lazy.
There was one time where we went down this new Black Diamond. We'd never been down it before.
Yeah, that's right, boy.
Why are you talking like that?
Continue.
Okay. Are you trying to prove I called you like a white yuppie and now you're trying to throw it
at me? No. I'm just, you know.
You're trying to get yourself straight.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's cool. You're laying down a flavor in the background. I'll tell a story. You go, what's up? Jeffy, oh! In the house! All right, dude. So we were at Ski Club one time. I remember I kept sniffling. Because, you know, you're at Ski Club. Oh, you're a yuppie little douchebag. You're not used to the snow. Your nose gets a little stuffy. Once I got this giant fucking Jew nose that holds a lot of snot. So I kept sniffling all day. And my nose, my sinuses were just fucking full. My sinuses!
Yeah.
Were full. We go down this Black Diamond that we've never been down before. And right after it is all the lines that where kids are waiting for the ski lifts.
Yeah.
The second you get to the foothill of this, you're just in the middle of people. I totally remember this, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we go down it, and it's a sheet of fucking ice. There's no powder, you know. It's all fake snow, and was all really packed, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember Matt McGrath, our buddy, went right off to the left, and he hit a fence. And where did you go?
I think I actually made it to the bottom, but then I crashed into a fence at the bottom.
Okay, so you made it a little further than me. Now, me, I tried to go parallel, and I felt myself, I was like, nope, I'm gonna immediately fall if I do this. Or I tried to go sideways, right? And then I tried to go sideways on my right, and I went, nope, that's not gonna work either. So I was like, shit, so I just had to go straight. And then I'm going, and I fucking, in like a half second, I'm at the bottom of this hill, going 9,000 miles an hour. And after just going down a vertical ice skating rink, and I'm dodging people left, right, and center. Honestly, I probably dodged about 5 people in a row, and then crack, I hit Mrs. Lobron's Mrs. Lennon's son, Tom Lennon.
Oh yeah,
is that
the
kid?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm friends with this kid, but I forget his name. Yeah, and we both got a concussion, and I remember waking up, snot dribbling down my face, and this idiot sitting co-pilot laughing at me, Matt McGrath laughing at me, you got snot all over your face. I was just unconscious for 2 minutes.
We were laughing for a couple of reasons. One, you know, we didn't want to look like this was affecting us too much if we were pussies. And two, I think there were some girls nearby, and we wanted to, like, show them how tough we were by, like, hey, we don't need to laugh at that. And then three, I think we were just uncomfortable.
There were girls... Hold on, I haven't heard this before.
Oh, like, girls as in, I mean, like...
There were no girls nearby.
Girls we didn't know, like, you know, just,
and
like,
you wanted
girls
to,
standing
you
off
wanted
the side.
To be so morbid that even though... Did you know how I'd been knocked out?
Well, no, and that was the other thing, is, you know, we did not know you had been knocked out. We knew you got hurt, but it was like, oh, yeah, he's got snot over his face. But we didn't realize it was like, oh, God, he has to go to the hospital now.
Yeah, because I remember I woke up after being knocked out for 2 minutes, and I'm just having a flashback of it right now. Ugh. And, because I just remember going up, and then, boom. Like, I remember, like, this very scary memory. And then the lights went out, and I have, like, this weird memory lapse. So when I think about this, I, like, fall back in that memory lapse. It's weird. Anyways, then I woke up. I heard them laugh at me, and then I was like, oh, I gotta lay down again. And then I just laid down in front of you guys and just went to sleep for a couple more seconds, right?
Yeah, and I remember, like, you saying, like, the next day or whatever that, like, your mom had to keep checking in on you to make sure you didn't go to sleep.
Yeah, she kept me up all day, because if you go to sleep, you can go into a coma, or what I think. And then I may have puked, and that's also bad. Ugh. If you have a concussion and then you throw up, that's worse. So, but I'm very accident prone. I've been knocked out loads of times. And so how do you defend yourself? Because you were saying, oh, I didn't abandon you. How did you help me in that situation?
Oh, I didn't help you at all, but... No, I'm just saying,
the truth.
I wasn't like a total scumbag. I was just kind of an asshole.
How did I get into the nurse's office? Because I do remember I crashed quite in front of the nurse's office. It is blurry. This memory is 15 years old.
I mean, I don't really remember.
Okay.
I assume they had you on a... I kind of remember you being on a stretcher.
Really?
I mean, it's funny. Like, this is a memory I've not even, like, thought about, I think, since that day.
Yeah.
So, forgot it ever happened.
Yeah, it was bad, but I had cuts all over my face and shit. I hurt myself again. I was hanging out with Brett. Now, my stupid, privileged, chubby friends I grew up with better not help me out, you know? Another time I was... I was hanging out with my friend Brett, and we were on a snowboard, and then we made a little jump, you know? And we kept going off it all day, and then I was like, I'm going to take one last snowboard jump. I jumped, the snowboard twists around, cracks my ankle... And then I'm like, oh, God, my ankle is fucked. I can't walk now. And my friend Brett's like, oh, that sucks. And I was maybe 300 yards away from my house. And I literally had to put my knees in this sled and just take my right hand and my left hand and just push myself foot by foot, all the way home. And then I was like, hey, Brett, can you, like, help push me, you know? And he was like, oh, okay. And then he, like... tried a little bit, and then he's like, oh, I guess it doesn't work. This works best if you do it yourself, I guess. And then he jumps in, and his mom, like, is ready with cocoa. I'm looking in his window. He's sipping cocoa in his fucking flannel sweater. I'm outside in the cold, fucking, like, pushing myself arm by arm all the way home. Through my woods. Literally, through woods. Then I get to my stoop, and I, like... ring the doorbell. My mom's like, why didn't you walk in? I'm like, can you take me to the hospital, please? So, very accident.
Very bad luck. Well, did you tell him about the mashed potatoes on your arm in 7th grade? When, you know, you fell at the jungle gym and broke your arm. You know, the big arm thing.
The mashed potatoes?
Yeah, well, I remember your mom described it to my mom, who related to me. That when you fell off the playground in 7th grade and hurt your arm...
A lot of shit went down in 7th grade. That's when we met. We made the Eric and Jeff show at recess.
Well, she said your arm looked like mashed potatoes, as in the bone had been smashed. And
my imagery
that's never lost me.
My right ulnus and radia, my forearm, cracked. You know, I ran off the balance beam. That was like a foot off the fucking ground. And then... I just landed really awkwardly because I was growing like a foot a day. It was like right in the height of puberty.
Hey, you know what's a crazy thought?
What?
This is something that we experienced growing up that no generation will ever have to deal with again.
What?
The experience of calling, you know, your friend's house and having to talk to their, you know, parent before you can talk to your friend. Because nowadays, everyone tries to sell. It's like, you just call your friend directly. There's no in-between, man.
Yeah. There's the house phone.
And the way we used to always, like, be amazed by our parents saying, like, oh, and you had to make a call, you had to talk to an operator.
Yeah.
Well, now it's the case that, oh, when you make a call, oh, you had to talk to, you know, the person's mom or dad.
Right. You just call the house. They go, hey, is Kevin there?
Yeah.
Now you're getting information from your mom that my arm is mashed potatoes. And
I've
never heard that sentence before in my life.
I think once in a blue moon, you get your friend to answer the phone, but more often than not, it might be their sibling. But it's, you know, usually like the mom and dad, and then occasionally you get a talky mom who it's like, hey, how you been?
And then
you
learn...
How are you doing? How tall are you? What size underwear are you wearing? Jeff, take them off. Now touch yourself. Now tell me what it's like. Hold on, Jimmy's almost coming to the phone. First, Jeff, do me a favor. Take me away. Tell me what it feels like. Jeff, can you talk dirty thing into my ear? This is Crowley. What are you talking about?
Jeff is reliving a repressed memory here.
What are you talking about?
Wake up!
Oh, sorry, was I dreaming? Sorry.
Yeah, I just started going through a repressed memory.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Touched by your teacher.
What? Hey, come on, man. This is a classy podcast.
I'm sorry.
Gnarly, dude.
Years 07, Jeff came over. I lived in New York City, and one thing that's very famous to do is to go to Times Square and watch the ball drop. And Jeff had a girlfriend who really wanted to do that. I wasn't that down, but it's a grueling, grueling task to perform, because you have to go to Times Square at 8 a.m. and go in and basically you get ringed in by the police. If you leave, you lose your spot. End of fucking story. Tickets to go to, like, a bar or restaurant are, like, $50 or maybe $300 to go to, like, the Marriott Marquis and watch the ball drop. But or you can be a poor schlub. And we went there at 8 a.m. and we literally didn't eat from 8 a.m. to, like, what the hell did we do?
Well, I think you're exaggerating to an extent in that, I think we got into the city at around 10 or something. And we, I think, like, we got online at, like, 1. But that 1 is still, you know, like, 11 hours before midnight. So when we got there, we actually were pretty close to the ball. And we were, like, close up. And it was like, hey, this is going to be cool, even though we're stuck here for, like, 11 hours or whatever. And, but then we, like, waited until, like, 2, maybe even 3. When out of, like, nowhere, the police started, saying, like, hey, everyone kind of get out of here. And, like, made us make what essentially turned out to be a giant U, which in its course, we lost our front place in line.
Yeah, they started sending us down blocks.
Yeah.
We were up front, but I guess the fucking politicians and the bank robbers and the oil companies get the preferred ball dropping
the
seats.
Mafia.
And they're ball dropping right in your mouth every time you fill up your gas tank. Continue.
Yeah, so anyway, so we finally got to our place in line, and, you know, it was basically a shitty spot where I had to put on my glasses, which I wore at the time, to even, like, see the damn thing. And so, yeah, we were looking at, like, the ball. We could just barely see it hit the numbers.
I was fucking freezing the whole time. I was miserable. I was hungry. It was so terrible.
And
people are literally shitting in buckets around you. They're pissing in 2-liter Pepsi bottles.
And we tried to pee, but we ultimately couldn't. I remember me and Eric actually holding, like, our coats over my girlfriend so she could squat down to pee in, like, this jar or whatever. And, basically, she couldn't do it. And none of us could really do it.
It's to the point where it's not weird. You're like, look, I'll hold a jacket over you.
Yeah.
I've never met you before.
Yeah, because just
trying to pee in this pan.
Just because, like, your bladders are in pain. And so, ultimately, what it ended up being, I think, was, like, about 10 hours in total that we stood from, you know, 4 or 3, whatever it was, to 12 o'clock. And I just remember when the ball finally hit, it was like, okay, yay, cheer, let's go find a bathroom.
And we just walked the fuck back to my house on the
I remember the whole time we kept, like, looking in, like, restaurants, hoping they would let us use their bathrooms, and none of them, understandably, would let us in, but still it was like, fucking assholes.
I know.
And so ultimately, we didn't get to be back to your place, and was it 19th Street, did you say?
No, I lived on 63rd at the
time. Oh, 63rd, well, but
we walked from 42nd to 63rd up Broadway.
Yeah, there you go.
20 blocks.
20 blocks, yeah, and so
holding in our shit, holding in our piss.
And it wasn't until
it was too cold to piss in a jar.
Yeah, and it wasn't until we got back to your place where we could go to the bathroom.
We all took turns.
We all took turns.
Decimated the fucking toilet, man.
Yeah, and I remember, after that, I remember drinking champagne and actually having, like, fun at your place for, like, a solid hour or two. We just hung out.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a really good night. And I just remember my girlfriend, Bluebee, the next morning. And it was awesome.
I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah.
Talking about skiing, ski club earlier. Now, we didn't have this. This is a news story about a certain ski club that's near a dairy farm. Go on, Jeff.
Yeah, and the title to this is Cow Manure from Dairy Farms to Boost Skiers at Vermont Resort, Littleton, New Hampshire. Cow manure will be used to power skiers to the top of the Vermont resort this winter as part of a growing effort to generate electricity from a byproduct of the state's iconic dairy farms. Killington, one of the largest ski resorts in New England, will use 300,000 kilowatt hours of electricity made from manure generated on 13 farms this year to run its K1 Express gondola to the top of the resort's namesake 4,241-foot peak, a spokesman for the resort said on Thursday. The manure-generated electricity is distributed through a renewable energy program at Green Mountain Power, the state's largest utility.
Wow.
It began in 2004 by Central Vermont Public Service, which was acquired by Green Mountain Power's parent company. Like this year, the Cow Power program now generates 5 megawatts using manure from 10,000 of the state's 270,000 cattle.
You know, this is also another suppress invention. Cow bull semen can power your car up Mount Kilimanjaro. So let's talk about this. Well, actually, a pull semen smoothie. You have one of those, and you'll run up Kilimanjaro. You don't even need an oxygen mask. This is a suppressed form of food. It's the perfect protein. Girls out there, swallow jizz. Now, let's talk about this here. You have cow manure, which is making methane gas, which is powering an electric station. I think this is great. You know, things like this make me hopeful about the world, because it's like people complain about factory farming, but what if there was like a gas mask vacuum? Okay, so a cow has vacuums on its tits sucking its milk out. It should have a vacuum on its ass taking all of its methane. You know what I mean? That cow is just leaking renewable energy and food for the planet.
Well, you have a point there.
Just hook that fucking bitch up. Power my world. Power my lifestyle, bitch.
Fight the power.
I'm making a smoothie.
He got game. It might feel good. It might sound little some. But damn the game if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life?
Well, you're laying down the vibe, man.
Well, you know, I'm just getting a little Chuck D up in this his, eh?
I called you a white guy once, and never just seen you spontaneously rap before.
Well, I was very offended. You know I'm black.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not black.
That sounds a little racist. I wanted to spell this rumor immediately. I am not black. Don't say that. No, it's the worst thing you could say.
I'm kidding. I'm not black. I'm white. It's me, Jeff.
If you couldn't tell by his fucking rapping,
exactly.
This is the whitest kid
in other words, I don't think I'm really fooling anyone. I don't think anyone heard me say that and said, you know what? No way. I thought that guy was black.
He sounded black to me. Did you hear him lay down that vibe?
I'm not sure anyone mistaken me for a African-American young person.
I guess black guys go to ski club.
Exactly. Hey, black people can ski, I think.
Moving on. Anyway, this has been another episode of the Highway Diaries. I've been your host, Eric Hollenbach, sitting passenger seat, my co-host,
Jeff and Scooby-Doo.
See you guys.
Goodbye.